Recognition, power, and influence is your birthright, and this podcast shows you how to get there. Welcome to episode number 218. Today's episode, I'm breaking down exactly why people who seemingly do less get recognized more, and how you can use some of the skills that they are using to get recognition without putting in more hours and even delivering more projects or caring more about their organization. Yet they still seem to get recognized and get promotions and get more money. How does that possibly happen? Well, I've figured out a way, and it's working for my clients time and time again. So if you want to use the advanced executive skill of doing less to obtain more, listen to today's podcast. Let's get started. Welcome to Women Changing Leadership. I am your host, Stacey Mayer, and I teach you how to get promoted, get paid, and bring your whole self to the leadership table. I am on a mission to change organizations from the C-suite out, because women are the new face of leadership, and we are doing it on our terms. Hello, corporate badasses. Welcome to another episode of Women Changing Leadership. I am your host, Stacey Mayer, and super excited, as always, to be here with you again this week. I hope you enjoyed my recent podcast episodes on interview, mastering executive level interview strategies, and really walked away with some bigger ideas of not only how are you showing up in these interviews, but really what is the person that you want to be seen as? And what is the type of role that you want to create for yourself? And that's going to lead us into today's podcast episode, which is all about practicing the art of essentialism to essentially get whatever you want at your organization, to really feel like you have that strong power and influence at your organization. But the methodology to get there is going to be to actually do less. It's incredibly counterintuitive. It freaks people the frick out. They don't understand this concept. But once they master it, their lives are changed forever. So first of all, I want to mention that the word essentialism, and it comes from, I mean, I don't know if the word comes from a book, but it actually came to me from a book by Greg McGowan. And I highly recommend reading this book. I am not going to quote from this book. I actually haven't picked up this book in several years. That's another thing about my thought leadership is I read all the time, but I have to let certain concepts go and marinate so that I can actually teach you in my own language and in my own experience. So I first picked up this book, I think maybe actually I'm going on 5 years ago now, and I read it from cover to cover. I bought the Audible version. I just like absorbed every single bit of it and really resonated with everything that he was saying. I wasn't reading his book from a place of wishful thinking. This is what I want to share with you. So many of you wish that you could just let things go, but you're blaming your current situation, your boss, the expectations, how hard things are. I'm struggling right now. Well, you know, they just had massive layoffs, so I can't really do anything about my situation right now. Now is a terrible time to change. You're looking at the circumstances of your life and you're freaking out and you wish that something would change, that you could have more space, that you could essentially let things go and get bigger results. I had that wishfulness, right? I definitely remember having that idea, like, wouldn't it be great? But when I read this book, I had a knowing. And for the women who have the most impact with this type of work, when I'm working with them on letting things go and actually walking away from certain situations at work that they would normally, one, have the ability to fix, and two, the ability to truly walk away from something that you, one, have the ability to fix is really tough. And it blows your mind that you could even do that at work and not get fired. But the women who are most resonating with this concept are the ones who kind of get it already. They know, they've seen situations at work. So let's just give a very base example of somebody at work who continues to get promoted, continues to have that seat at the table, but kind of feels like he doesn't do anything. He doesn't provide any real value to the organization, but he just gets paid more and has more influence. That person is super annoying. We see that person around us who's technically doing less and getting a bigger reward. You know, you might even have like a stereotype in your head of the executive suite out on the golf course throughout the week, seemingly doing less, but getting a bigger reward. At your organization, perhaps the executive team are not the ones who are having to commute to the office 5 days a week, but yet all the lower level employees are the ones who have to put in 60, 80 hour work weeks to get everything done for the executives who are reaping all of the rewards. So we've seen this concept at play where people who do less get paid more, essentially focusing on essentialism and the simple things that they can do to get paid more. And I've seen that concept work in theory. You know, this is where I was 5 years ago, like all around me, right? You know, I would know that that was a thing. And if you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know that I have a background in Buddhist studies and I have spent a lot of time thinking about the concepts of letting go and detachment. And it's like, I know when I'm not attached to something, I get the reward. Like, I know this. So when I read the book Essentialism, I was like, this explains everything. So first of all, just go read the book, but it really hit home. And then today's episode, I'm going to show you how I have applied not just the concepts in this book, because like I said, I haven't read it again for the last 3 or 4 years, but I want to show you how I understand essentialism now and how I actually teach women to do this practice at work. So effectively. I want to share the note with you first as we get in here that I received this Slack message from one of my clients, one of the women inside of the leadership table. And she sent me this message a few weeks ago and it inspired this episode. But I was receiving these kind of messages from a lot of different people. She said, on a personal note, I have been loving work now that I have truly let it all go. Now, this was a woman who, when she first came to coaching with me, she was very stressed out and she had been at her organization for 17 years. She didn't want to leave because she loved the organization, but she wasn't quite sure what to do because she knew that there was no upward path for her. She was trying to solve all these issues, but nobody seemed to care. All of those typical things. You can ask yourself if that's what's happening to you. And she sends me this note. It says, I have been loving work now that I have truly let it all go. I'm on the outside looking in. They don't ask me anything. They both share how hard it is, but clearly they do not want feedback. Oh my God, this is so beautiful. I want to dissect that sentence for a little bit. So they're sharing with her how hard it is, whatever they're working on, like let's say a problem. But because she's the observer, she can see they don't actually want that problem fixed. I can kind of talk to you in today's episode about how to actually do that. But really, what I want you to see is like when you start to become, let me just give you a high level view of what outside observer is. But basically, when you're in the weeds, when you're like trying to solve everybody's problems, like you're trying to prove yourself, you're go, 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 you can't see the forest through the trees, right? So she's able to zoom out now. I've taught her how to do that, to really look at all the situations around her. And she can really see that these people who are complaining to her are not actually looking for feedback. This is huge. And that is so often the case. These executive leaders are just running around with their heads cut off. And part of the reason that they tell you about all their problems is because they want to seem important themselves. You want to start to be able to observe that and say, who is actually open to feedback? Who actually wants my support? And stop giving your support to the wrong folks. You're giving your help, you're using your time and your energy and your valuable resources to people who don't even need it or want it. And so she's kind of able to see now that this doesn't even matter anymore. And then she goes on to say, I've been able to just detach myself and practice essentialism. I continue to kill it with my team and my 25 staff members are extremely happy and my division is running very smoothly. Again, what really matters, right? She probably was doing all of that before, but she couldn't even see it and or appreciate that that was the most important thing. And then she just ends the note with thank you for all that you do. It's so, so important that we're able to get that space to become that observer, to really zoom out. This leads me to the first step of practicing essentialism, which is the first thing that you're going to do when you want to really be able to see where do I need to spend my time. And Greg talks about the concept of essentialism is like, what's the essential, the core area that I can begin to spend my time? And you become that observer, like I just touched on, right? You zoom out. Now, the thing that inevitably happens for people is that they zoom out and they start to become this observer. You could do this just for 1 week or 2 days. You are like horrified, right? It's really fascinating because every single client across the board becomes horrified at what they see. Like when they get out of the weeds, when they're stopped trying to solve everybody's problem, they zoom out and they start to see the chaos around them. They're like, oh my God, I watched the meeting rather than participate. I just watched. I'd use this as an example just to listen and be that higher level observer. Now, this is very different than checking out, right? Like checking your emails while other people are talking and not paying attention. That's completely, completely opposite. I am talking about being very, very present, being very engaged in listening, observing. This actually requires an enormous amount of energy. And then, as I talked about, you start to see the shit show that's happening around you. And that requires another amount of energy because you hate what you're seeing. You're like, oh my gosh, there's politics and this person scrambling to get power. And like that person was just talking over that person. Oh my God, it just drove me crazy. And I was like, nobody actually wants feedback. Nobody wants to fix anything. They just want to yell and be like the coolest person in the room. Like you're seeing all the childish behavior that's happening around you. And it can be so diminishing. You can feel like you have no place in this. You're like, do I either engage or do I just check out? Which would be that person that's just checking their emails on a conference call and they're not even paying attention. And that tends to be what a lot of women will do by default is they're like, I can kind of tell that this is a crazy situation, so I'm just not even going to engage at all. But I want to encourage you as you become the observer to have a sense of humor. Just be like, whoa, look at this mess. It helps if you have somebody like me to talk to about it too, because I can be like, well, yeah, of course that's what it is. And so then let me transition to another client who recently started to become this observer. And I was encouraging her to let things go, to not go in and try and fix every single thing around her. And she really started to get pissed, not because of the shit shows that she was seeing, but she felt like the politics were actually against her. And she felt like there was so much manipulation for other people on her team and against her positioning. And in this particular case, there was something on a side note to her regular job where she had put in for a sabbatical that she had earned at this organization, and it was time for that to come up. And she was approaching her boss and talking to her boss over time. I think since like the last 4 or 5 months, she's been talking to him about the best time to take the sabbatical. Her boss was working with her on this, but the problem was is that the sabbatical was never getting set. He was just always telling her, hey, you know, maybe it'll be better to take it in June. Maybe it'll be better to take it in January. And so what was happening was she was starting to feel very frustrated and she felt like he was pushing against her. He didn't care about her sabbatical. He didn't care about the time that she had put into her work. He didn't care about giving her credit for certain situations. He didn't care about her promotion, like all of these different things. And so once she started to become the observer, she got really mad at him. And so this is a place where my coaching really helps is because I could show her, hey, that's just like typical. And I don't mean it like all of us have to work in a typical bro toxic culture, but it's like he doesn't care about her sabbatical. And she like wants him to care. She wants him to give her credit. She wants him to do all of these things. And this is not his priority. It's not that he's out to get her. It's just that it's not his priority. So for her, what was really interesting that happened is I suggested that you just put in for your sabbatical, like look at your own calendar, figure out when you want to do it and schedule it. And that was very nerve-wracking because what happened was she put in for her sabbatical and then kind of like he got really worried. So he was like, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? We have to cover that, right? Because now she made it real. And she's being this observer and she's like, oh my gosh, maybe he really is out to get me and maybe I'm going to ruin my whole reputation. He's going to ruin my reputation. All of this work that I have put in at this organization. But literally his temper tantrum lasted a grand total of 5 minutes. He figured out who was going to cover different things. The next thing you know, she's going on sabbatical. Her sabbatical is not only scheduled, but they have people to backfill these certain situations. And on top of that, he gave her a 5% raise. This was above and beyond the normal 3% that I think they were supposed to get on their team. And he pushed to get her more of a raise. So she's going out on sabbatical. She gets to take this time to herself and she received a raise. This is the practice of letting go, because what happened is once she stopped trying to like work with her boss, make her boss like her, figure things out, make sure that she did everything, lined everything up, made everybody happy, and she just took care of herself and she said, hey, I've earned a sabbatical. It starts on Tuesday and that's that. They're like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll figure it out. And so what she had to do was really, really take care of herself. And I see countless, countless, countless times when this becomes the situation. And now she's just like, her mind's completely blown. Like, well, what else is possible? Like, maybe if I stop trying to make everybody happy around me and like fix everything and essentially be in the weeds all the time, what else is possible for me? As you go into these next couple of weeks, I want you to start experimenting with this idea of what's actually possible. So first of all, I already suggested become the observer. Then once you become the observer, I want you to kind of loosen the grip a little bit and sort of say, what if I don't reply to this email right away? What if I just schedule the sabbatical? What if I say the thing I really wanted to say and make things very, very clear? Like if you have a trouble employee, what if I just do that? Another example of this working in action is I had another woman inside the leadership table and she was going on vacation, a 2-week vacation scheduled. And there was a very important management team meeting and she's the leader of her group and she had to give a huge presentation as part of this meeting. And they said, well, you know, if you want to, you can dial in to the meeting and give the presentation on your vacation. And if you don't want to do that, then we'll cover for you. Like those were the options. It was not that big a deal. And she said, normally before working with you, Stacey, I totally would have dialed in. And so I want you to start to ask yourself, where are you dialing in on your vacation? Where are you being very clingy to doing every single thing yourself? And she said, I just decided to trust it. And she put in the work ahead of time to make sure that the presentation was really solid, that all of her ideas were inside of the presentation. And then she let them present it on her behalf. And she went on her vacation. She didn't worry about it. She came back and not only did it go incredibly, incredibly well, but now what she had was buy-in from the rest of the management team because she had to explain her ideas, her vision, how she wanted this presented rather than just doing it herself. And so then she got even bigger rewards as a result of it. She gets more inclusion as a result of letting go. So in this upcoming week, I want you to really ask yourself, where am I being tight and clingy and controlling and I want things to go a certain way and I have to do everything myself. I'm the only person who could possibly present this. And just sort of like loosen that grip a little bit, you know, wait an extra 5 minutes before replying to the email and experiment and see what happens as a result. Are you able to give yourself that time and space? The thing that inevitably comes up for every single person who starts to do this work is this fear of redundancy, which is like, well, if I stop showing up, if I stop solving all these big problems, then nobody cares about me anymore. Nope, that is not the case. And here is the number one reason why. You are confused. Up until this point in your career, whenever you have let things go, whenever you have thrown your hands up and been like, F it, I don't care anymore, you have actually shut down. That is different than what I'm talking about. What I am talking about is very much, and I'm not going to say leaning in because I think leaning in is more like that. I have to have my hands on every single thing and I have to talk to this person, I have to do this. but more like standing tall. I've got my hands on my chest right now, opening space, really taking up space, becoming that huge observer. When you're going out of town, setting other people up for success, making sure that you have your successor in place so that you can get promoted, really taking up a lot of space energetically. So less with your words and more with your presence. When you can start to make that transition and take up space energetically, you become smarter. You actually become a leader and other people see you as such. Another woman who, she was just like spinning out. I don't know how to do this. But what was happening was what her boss would do is consistently change his mind. So he would give her like, you know, an all out fire drill that she had to solve this problem like really, really quick. And it was such a big deal. And she would stay up all night and she would solve this problem. And then 2 days later, he was on to a next problem and didn't seem to care about that problem anymore. So she was constantly putting out the wrong fires and he didn't really care what fires. And she couldn't offer any bigger solutions. And so my suggestion to her was to stop, like stop fixing his problems so quickly. If you know he's going to constantly change his mind, slow down yourself. So let him be all speedy and be like, ah, this is huge. And you're like, yeah, I hear you. But she's sitting up tall. She's taking it all in. She's asking good questions. She's really engaging. And then she's going home at 5 o'clock, spending time with her kids, like totally just distract yourself. Come back to work the next day. Look at the problem. See if the problem still exists. See if you see a different angle. And then if at some point, like on Thursday or Friday of that week, if she does still have to stay up until 10 o'clock at night to create a solution for this problem, okay, fine. She can do that. But you don't just automatically do that at default. You're really able to zoom out, look at the bigger picture, and really see what's happening. When you can begin to do this, you will start to get more power, influence, and recognition at your organization. It is ridiculous and so, so, so true. So many of my listeners to my podcast were not a leader, so to speak, in their career for the first 20 years. They were a subject matter expert. And even if you're already in a director or VP level position, if you're still identifying as that subject matter expert, it makes sense that you want to solve these problems. You want to get in there. You want to get your hands wet. It's hard for you to be that observer, to zoom out, to slow down. But when you can do that in real time, you start to see the better solution. You start to be able to engage. You see, am I spending all of my energy trying to prove my value to my peers when I should be scheduling meetings with my boss's boss's boss and proving my value to him instead so that I can start to be included in the conversations that I actually want to be included in? This is how the concept of essentialism works. We get to be smarter. We get to be that leader. We get to zoom out. We get to say, hey, what is the impact that I really want to be making? So many of you come to me and you say, I just don't have the time. I just don't have the time. How do I get more time? How do I get more time? And I'm just like, stop. In the moment, stop. Give yourself 30 seconds before you reply to that text. You know, with my client, her boss was constantly changing his mind all the time. She definitely feels underwater. She's like, I need to work harder to solve this. And I'm like, you need to work slower. You need to slow down and actually see the problem that is most essentially needed to be solved. When you start to do this, you start to act like the executive leader. The number one thing that you have to do if you want to get promoted into higher level leadership positions is show them that you can work under fire, that you can prioritize, that you're good at making decisions, that you can see the bigger picture, that you are that observer, that you know what's really going on, and you know that essential problem that needs to be solved right now. And the good thing is that when you stop giving an F, right, when you start to say F it, then it's like it's very uncomfortable at first, but boy, oh boy, does it feel good in the end. And what I want is I want you to be that person who gets promoted into that higher level leadership position. You be the person that has the right, instead of going on a golf trip in the middle of the day, maybe you're going to get your nails done or going to a salon or whatever the heck you want, going to a yoga class 3 days a week in the middle of the day. And why is that? It's because your ideas matter. You don't get paid by the hour. You're not getting paid by having your butt in the seat. You're getting paid for having space, energy, that big picture, knowing how to solve the essential problems that need to be solved at your organization. And going to that yoga class 3 days a week fuels that. All right, my friends, let me know what you find out. Definitely, as you are trying this, send me a message on LinkedIn. If we're not already connected, go to LinkedIn, Stacey Mayer on LinkedIn, and send me a direct message. Let me know how this is going. And share this podcast with a friend. We need to double the number of women, at least like 10 times the number of women who are listening to this podcast every single week. If we truly want to change the leadership table, I need your help. So share this podcast episode with a friend. You could post it on your social media, or you could just forward an episode that was meaningful to you. All right. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next week. Bye. Before you go, I have a question for you. Do you know how close you are to your next promotion? Really? Not what your boss has told you, not what you even believe to be true, but have you actually taken the time to sit down, take an assessment, review the 5 categories that it takes to get promoted into senior executive leadership positions, and decided where you fall in each category, and given yourself a ranking on a scale of 1 to 10 of how close you are to getting your next promotion? Have you done this? Well, now's your chance. If that feels interesting to you and you're like, hey, I want to know exactly how close I might actually be, or how far away you might be, and what it's going to take to get you even closer, then I invite you to take my promotability quiz. This is a quiz that I put together with practical tips that actually tell you where you're lacking and where you're winning. What are the areas that you actually need to improve, and not necessarily what your boss is telling you all the time, so that you can take concrete steps towards landing that next promotion and changing the face of the leadership table. Go to yourpromotabilityscore.com to take your free assessment today. Yourpromotabilityscore.com, and let me know how it goes.